Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
We have a very intense oldest son named Daniel, and when I would get into conflicts with him early on, I had this almost like a loop tape in my head just playing over and over. When we would start to get into a conflict, basically it was the statement, I am an angry mom raising an angry child.
Today on Focus on the Family Minute, Lynn Jackson explains how God changed her perspective and strengthened her relationship with her son.
And God convicted me out of the verse in Ephesians that talks about speaking the truth in love. And it was like, Lynn, you are not speaking the truth in love to yourself, about yourself and Daniel. And so as I thought about it and prayed about it, I realized I'm an intense mom raising an intense child, and we butt heads, but we love each other. And that was so much more true. That was 100% true.
Hear more insights and parenting help from Lynn Jackson at familyminute.org.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
With all the changes in the auto industry these days, keeping it up can be a challenge. So join me, Jimmy Purdy, on Gearhead Radio every Saturday at 9 a.m. I'm your go-to guy for all things automotive. Tune in as I share the latest advice and industry insights. Need help with your car? Call in and let's solve those car mysteries together. Here's the fun part. I'll share some of the hilarious mistakes I've made along the way, because let's face it, we've all got stories to tell. Gearhead Radio with me, Jimmy Purdy. It's not just a show, it's a community. Tune in this and every Saturday at 9 a.m.
Hey, get in here. They're about to kick off.
I'm coming.
Boy, this streaming isn't very good. What kind of internet you got?
Satellite. This happens all the time. I'll go up on the roof and fix it. Hold my beer.
You think that's a good idea?
I got this.
Okay, so that's a bad idea. But if you live in a rural area and your internet connection isn't what it should be, it's a good idea to get Ranch Wi-Fi. Ranch Wi-Fi delivers big city speeds with small town customer service. Let Ranch Wi-Fi deliver fiber optic connections wirelessly that'll get you connected and keep you connected so you can stay in the game with the internet speed you need. They also have no data limits and no contracts, so you don't have to suffer with DSL or satellite. Ranch Wi-Fi delivers big city speeds with hometown customer service for the entire Central Coast, especially in rural areas. Get connected fast.
Call Ranch Wi-Fi 805-995-4181 or visit ranchwifi.com. Ranch Wi-Fi, delivering big city speeds to the Central Coast.
Paul Harvey's The Rest of the Story, brought to you by Frontier Floors and Window Coverings at 830 21st Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-7878 or online at frontierfloors.net.
The Rest of the Story. The awful news spread through Wilkes County like a plague. This was it. The Yates sisters and the Bunker brothers were, well, they were courting. And worse still, the two couples had made specific plans to get married. But wasn't there a law against interracial marriage in North Carolina? Yes, of course there was. But the legislator creators of that law, surely unintentionally, had left a fair-sized loophole through which four local young people were about to leap. In the first place, how could the story possibly be true? Oh, there were doubts about it. Why, only the other day, the Yates sisters and Bunker brothers had ridden into Wilkesboro together and then strolled about the town arm in arm right there in broad daylight. Had Ed Layden and Sally Ann Yates lost their minds, the citizens of Wilkes County wondered. After all, the Yates family was among the most respected for miles around. They owned 1,200 acres of land and 15 slaves and lived in a big white house on a big green hill. How could such prestigious, honorable, moral parents condone such a crime against nature? Well, as it turned out, the girl's father and mother had not permitted them to become engaged to the Bunker brothers. In fact, David and Nancy Yates didn't even know what their teenage daughters were up to until the night a mob of protesters carrying torches and rocks showed up at their doorstep. Windows were shattered. Threats were hurled. If the Yateses did not put an end to their daughter's folly, the angry shouts promised, then the family's crops would be burned. Naturally, the girl's parents forbade them ever to see the Bunker brothers after that. But just as naturally, Adelaide and Sally Ann, after a tearful acquiescence, began devising ways to meet their boyfriends in secret. And this is the rest of the story. It took plenty of planning and persistence, but the Yates sisters eventually overcame their parents' objections and their fears. And on April 13 of 1843, in the living room of the White House on the Green Hill, they and their hard-won sweethearts were married. And to the pleasant surprise of the Yates family, the entire community shortly thereafter changed its mind, then its heart, and rallied behind the newlyweds, whose determination and devotion had become a lesson to them all. Throughout their 31 happy years together, until death did them part, both couples produced 21 children between them. For once upon a world in which love and hate dwelled side by side, a world not terribly unlike our own, there was a law prohibiting the marriage of free whites to blacks, or to Indians, or to any persons of mixed racial ancestry. But the authors of that legislation had somehow neglected to include on their list of outcasts Chinese. So, legally permitted, the Bunker brothers, two North Carolina farmers named Chang and Eng, married the girls of their dreams and lived happily ever after. In an era of racial prejudice so exaggerated that practically nobody seemed to notice, even less to care, that those two young men were then known the world over for the pound of flesh that bound them together at the chest. All your life you've heard the term Siamese twins. Today, you've met Chang and Eng, the brothers who were the first Siamese twins. And now you know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by Buy the Book Heating and Air, your local reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veeley. I'm your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. And as I told you, today we are talking with John Pashon about the ballot measures and going over what each measure means and the different propositions. And I know there's a lot of drama out there. Ty Lewis is claiming that I was meeting with a city council member and we were hosting meetings with a bunch of people in the community where we were telling them, help us fabricate information to destroy Ty. There was none of these meetings. But anyway, there is a local marijuana seller that is claiming that he can back up Ty's claims. And both the Tribune and the Paso Robles Daily News did what I consider hit pieces. But I am going to read you my response, and then we will talk about this tomorrow on this show. The show after this is going to be about the ballot measures and propositions or anything in government you want to ask John Pashon, but not about Paso Robles drama. Okay, this is what I posted today. While we do not generally publish our own editorials and leave the commentary to our readers, the latest false hit piece in the Tribune prompted this response. In an attempt to get more than $10 million, a $10 million payout after he voluntarily left his city manager position amid a $43 million deficit in the draft budget, the Tribune reports that Ty Lewis claims Councilman Chris Bausch and I hosted multiple meetings where we discussed fabricating information to harm Lewis. He then claims the three people planning to run for office against the incumbents were part of that alleged conspiracy. First, Bausch and I held no meetings. A Tribune reporter asked City Council candidate Linda George how many times she met with me at the meetings. George told the Tribune, none. and that we had met only once when she was a guest on the radio show with me. They called her back 3 times. The Tribune failed to include that information in its story, again, trying to promote that a competitor was pushing false information. The Tribune also failed to clarify what false information they alleged that I said or wrote about Lewis. My articles and recorded radio interviews are evidence. These Tribune reported allegations are false. As for the marijuana seller and former restaurant owner Ernest Hall, now alleging I confirmed Lewis's allegations and saying I told him I was making up stories about Lewis, this too is false, ridiculous, and unsubstantiated hearsay. Hall asked to go on the radio to discuss issues he was having with the city regarding permitting a pot shop. He repeatedly disparaged Lewis, not only to me, but to multiple people in the community. Hall reported his business doubled at the time he was advertising with Cal Coast News and on the radio shows. However, Hall later reported he had a serious health issue and told me he was closing his restaurant and planning on focusing on his pot business. Even though Hall failed to pay his bills for months, I told him I would forgive his debt in light of his health issues. I am appalled at Hall's false statements reported in the Tribune that promote Lewis's attempt to get a settlement. Audio recordings of the radio shows and a taped discussion at a coffee shop dispute Lewis's claim for money from the city of Paso Robles. I believe it is important to require Lewis, who claim has been denied on recommendation of the city's insurance company, to file a suit so that the truth is revealed. How can council members Steve Gregory and Sharon Roden be unbiased while they are allegedly raising tens of thousands of dollars to remain in office while Lewis repeatedly makes unfounded claims against their opponents? The Tribune also reports Cal Coast News lost a $1.1 million judgment regarding a lawsuit filed by an associate of former San Luis Obispo County Supervisor Adam Hill. What did the Tribune leave out? I sued the plaintiff for fraud on the court based on perjury he made during trial. We settled. I do not owe a judgment, and I dropped my fraud on the court case. The Tribune knows this. The Paso Robles Daily News knows this. They are instead putting out information that attacks a competitor in business. But again, we'll talk about that tomorrow. We're going to get back to John Pashon and the ballot measures now. John, what would you like to talk about next?
I would like to talk about Proposition 32, which is a statewide minimum wage increase. So this is on the ballot. It's Proposition 32 on your ballot. And the Democrat Party, as you, California Democrat Party, has said yes, they would like to raise the minimum wage. The local Republican Party, so the San Luis Obispo County Republican Party, has taken a no position. They believe it will increase state minimum wage of $18 an hour. Job killer could bankrupt small businesses. The California Republican Party also is against this statewide minimum wage increase. As you know, we've raised minimum wage over a while now, and it continues to go up. It has hurt small businesses, if you look at a lot of the things that we talk about. So that is out there, and that is a no vote on Proposition 32. It does raise it annually, and other opponents on this are the California Chamber of Commerce, the California Restaurant Association, which they believe that it would be really tough on them, and the California Grocers Association, so the people that that work for the and the trade association for our grocery stores.
And I will tell you, as a reporter, I have never seen the number of restaurant closures that are going down right now. We just lost the last two McClintocks this week.
I know. I saw that the one down in Pismo Beach.
It's been around since, I think, what was it, 75?
over 50 years in that location, I think. Yeah.
The first one that opened was that one, and shortly after, they opened the one in SLO and the one in Arroyo Grande. Arroyo Grande's closed. SLO is closed.
And the one in Paso Robles.
Yes, it was the first one to close.
Yeah. I used to go there all the time, and so it's a tough time. It's a tough time to be in the restaurant industry. Small grocers the same way, you know, the small businesses, the mom and pop businesses. This will definitely affect them.
And I do know that some grocers, though, they're telling me that they, you know, they would raise the grocery prices. What they do is they add to the grocery. They have a set schedule, but I think they believe that it would hurt the community. I have friends in the grocery business. They're actually, a lot of people can't afford to eat out anymore. So grocery stores currently are doing well. But the problem is they have a certain markup. And if the prices are going up across the board, they have to sell it for more. And it's harder on the public.
It is. It's harder on the public. And what ends up happening is you end up with more self-service checkouts, right? Versus you know, the people that you get to smile with and talk to and get to know in your local grocery store. So.
Do you use the self, or do you use the other?
I actually use the other. I go stand in line and talk to people.
I think that's
but
very
But again,
nice.
I'm elected, right? So, you know, it's what I do. I get talk to people all the time. I want to know how things are going. You know, how can we improve the county? How can we make things better? You know, what services do you use and what services do you think don't work? So that's just me. It's something weird. Sorry.
Everybody, the thing is, I know some people like one.
Yeah.
I was actually intimidated. I'm not a technical person, and it intimidated me at first.
Yep.
But I finally got it down, and if I see long lines, I always run to the self-checkout.
Yeah. Yeah, but I don't. I'll get in the line, you know, just, you know, look at the magazines, look at the candy bars, you know. Of course, they put all that stuff just for me right there near the checkout, so I have to buy it all, so.
And are there any polls on any of these going around?
There are polls out there. I haven't seen a whole lot of polling on these, you know, but they would be where you think they are. I think the real battle, we're going to talk about the real battles coming up here. So I just wanted to talk about Prop 33, which is one of the real battles. So this would allow rent control and new fees on single family homes. And this is one of my pet peeves is we talk about in California, we've added so much regulation on the building of a home. And then we've added kind of these user taxes and the different taxes, the inclusionary housing tax, you know, to be able to buy and build and purchase land for affordable housing. All of these things are just adding the prices to single family homes. And I know, I mean, there is a market out there right now. That's why our home prices are so, because we have so little product on the market out there. So when 20 homes get built in Templeton, they're probably sold within the first month for people that are desperate to get, you know, move. The same thing in the city of Paso, the same thing in San Miguel, in Shandon. And we're having battles because of liberty issues, right? So this is allowing people property rights to be able to build homes so they can house other people and people can get part of the American dream. So Prop 33 lets city councils impose rent control on single family homes and could allow bureaucrats to charge fees for removing homes from the rental market. It would also reduce local government revenue and may lead to higher property taxes and worsening Californians' housing costs. So the California Republican Party and the local Republican Party are a no vote on Prop 33. And of course, the Democrats, California Democratic Party says it will allow expanded rent control and stops greedy corporate landlords from gouging tenants.
Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to ask John today?
You know, I had a question. I don't know if you already covered it, but I do have a copy of the California Republican Party voter guide and then the Republican Party of San Luis Obispo voter guide. And I don't know if you went over it, but the California Republican Party says yes on Prop 2, where the San Luis County says no. On Prop 3, San Luis says no, and the state Republican Party says no position.
Yeah.
On Prop 34,
we did go over yes on 2, yes or no, I should say, on 2, and we did go over Prop 3. We haven't gotten to 34 yet, but it's coming.
Okay.
Yeah, we just did Prop 30, no on 33. So you're looking at the same kind of thing I am. And it does. They have split. So the local Republican Party and the state Republican Party have split on some of these issues. You are correct.
So that is something that does. Okay.
Yeah.
I just thought it was kind of a little funny, but okay,
no, it's interesting too because you can see the nuances of the two different organizations, kind of, and what they believe.
Thank you very much for calling
Thank
in.
You, bye.
You bet.
And on the 33.
Yep.
Do you believe this is one of the more important issues?
I do. I think it's going to cost taxpayers more money. And if our basic premise today is talking about taxpayers and the taxpayer associations, according to the state's independent legislative analysis, Prop 33 will lead to a loss of revenue for local governments across the state and is going to result in higher local property taxes. And so for that, it sums it up right there. That, again, independent legislative analysis, which means it's not a Dem or a REAP, but it's definitely something that's going to lead to higher property taxes in the community, making housing even more expensive, further driving up California's cost of living.
And I will tell you, I know Mark London. He was a property manager for years. He is recently in the process now, I think, for like 5 years, retiring as he tries to get rid of all the properties he managed. But he actually told me, I don't want to be in the business with these new laws because all the rules are for the tenant. They cannot pay you and you can't get them out. And there's a problem. I also know a large property owner who has 5 or 6 rental properties. They're selling right now. Mm-hmm. They said, I don't want to deal with the new laws.
And a lot of these laws came in during the COVID, pandemic. Right. So if you didn't pay your rent, you stayed in place. And a lot of those have continued. I think this across the board, Prop 33 will definitely hurt the community. It'll hurt local government. They won't be able to do the same amount with the money that they get. And then they all run around and everybody's going to have to say, well, we need to raise taxes. We need to raise your property tax because this is, it got voted in by the people.
We're going to take a word from our sponsors and be back with more with John Pashan.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Elizabeth MacDonald, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks falling sharply as investors wait a new batch of mixed earnings reports, while worries that the Fed will be less aggressive with slashing interest rates lifted Treasury yields. Tech was the worst performer today, with Apple leading the charge, its stock falling over 2%, after an industry supply chain analyst said that Apple has slashed orders for the iPhone 16 by about 10 million units for the fourth quarter of this year and the first half of next year. McDonald's stock falling 5% after federal health officials linked an E. coli outbreak to the world's largest burger chain. The Dow winners, Johnson & Johnson, Walmart, and Verizon. The Dow decliners, McDonald's, Apple, and Salesforce. The Dow falling 410 points, the Nasdaq down 296, S&P 500 down 54. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
With Cybersecurity Awareness Month winding down, LifeLock wants to remind you to update your software. These updates are used to patch up security issues that identity thieves can exploit to gain access to your personal info. But for comprehensive identity theft protection, there's LifeLock. LifeLock alerts you to more uses of your personal info and fixes identity theft issues that arise. Start your 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use my name as your promo code, Clay.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Elite RV and Boat Storage in Paso Robles is now open. They're not your typical open-air dirt lot. Elite RV and Boat Storage is fully fenced, fully paved, and each space is covered. Their state-of-the-art facility includes security and video cameras monitored 24/7 with motion detectors safeguarding every covered parking space, a professional RV wash station with spot-free rinse, vacuum station, trickle charging, air compressor, a dump station, propane, accessory store, and they offer for free ice, open 9 to 5, 7 days a week. Don't let your RV or boat get sunbleached. Allow decal fading or let it deteriorate in the dust.
Hi, this is Kit. Trust your RV and boat to locally owned and operated Elite RV and Boat Storage at 4210 Right Way off of Dry Creek Road next to the Estrella Warburgs Museum. Call Elite RV and Boat Storage at 805-801-3889 or online at EliteRVandStorage.com. Ask about a free month.
The Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775, 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vealy. I'm your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. And today I have John Pashon in the studio. And as I promised back in March, we have someone from the Taxpayer Association that is very familiar with the different bills and propositions. And we are going through the different bills and propositions. We are not only explaining them, but we're telling you who supports them and who does not, and getting into some of the information. You can call if there's a question you want to ask. 238-5775. John, have you seen any polling on Prop 33?
I have not yet. Okay. You know, there's a lot of discussion about it, but, you know, I think that, I mean, a lot of people are focused, some, you know, in the larger cities are really focused on rent control. That's an issue. So my assumption is that most of the advertising for that initiative is taking place in the San Francisco Bay Area and the Los Angeles media markets. That's where the money's being spent, because that's, you know, those are the largest impact on when you buy television ads would be in, or digital ads would be in those communities.
I will tell you, it's frustrating to me. I don't see it. We don't see the presidential ads here.
Right.
We're kind of out of the loop living here in San Luis Obispo County.
Now I will tell you that it's been very interesting because I watch a lot of football, right? So the Sunday night game was against the Jets and the Steelers. And the Steelers, you know, just tore them up. But I saw, for like the first time, I saw four or five presidential ads in the nationwide broadcast of that here in California. It was on a local channel, but they obviously the ads are a nationwide buy, and they were very effective.
So, and were they really fun to watch?
They were a blast.
There was one
of them that I won't go into right now, but it was great.
Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to ask John today?
Hi, John. I have a question, and it is this: what would be your opinion on a sales tax that has no sunset clause?
Dale, you're trying to get me into the city of Paso Robles, and I don't live in the city of Paso Robles, so I appreciate the opportunity to tell you that I can't answer your question, Dale. I'll answer it after the election, but I'm not gonna go into it. I know where you're going, and so I appreciate you calling in today.
Okay, bye.
Thank you for calling.
So
one more. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to ask John today?
Yeah, so I've heard over the years that when the California minimum wage is increased, the unions in California, their wages all increase automatically. And I'm just wondering if that's the case.
A lot of times there is. The negotiated contract has that in it, then it does raise it. There's a lot of organizations. I'll give you the example was that California, here in California, each county, you know, pays their supervisors, their county supervisors, and they get to make the local decisions. And a lot of the counties, including this county, and I just want you to know I did not vote for this. I voted against it. But they have linked our salaries to the salaries of judges and judicial salaries. So every time that they get a raise, which is also the way that works, you know, locally, then now the supervisors will get raises. And so I believe across the board that they do link the different organizations. If they negotiate that, that's the way it does. They definitely get a cost of living increases. I just want you to be aware, I have not taken the salary increase ever since I've been elected. So
I'm happy to hear that. But so you're thinking that it is linked to the minimum wage?
Yeah, I think if they negotiate it, they link it. They link it to any increases that occur in the state.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much.
You bet.
Thank you. What one do you want to talk about next?
I would like to talk about Proposition 34. So Proposition 34 restricts spending of prescription drug revenues by certain healthcare providers. And this is an interesting one, but you'll see why. So Proposition 34, the California Republican Party states that it will stop financial abuse of the drug discount program. The Republican Party of San Luis Obispo County says it stops foundations from misusing federal subsidies to promote rent control. So it's interesting that this is also another kind of rent control issue. But both the Republican Party of San Luis Obispo County, the Republican Party of the state of California are urging a yes vote. The local Democrat Party, and I say that, the California Democrat Party, sorry, not the local Democrat Party, actually took no recommendation on this. So they said it restricts spending for prescription drug revenues by certain healthcare providers. So it's probably got dual messaging in there. It's one of those ones like you talked about earlier where, you know, you read it and then you get more confused as you read it.
Yes.
And so it's going to be one of those. And then I will tell you that there is no position taken. Let's see here. The California Republican Party, they must have taken a position later on this one. But so the Democrat Party is a no recommendation, and the two Republican parties are yeses on this. And one of them is using the argument that it will stop financial abuse of the drug discount program, and the other one says it will stop foundations for misusing federal subsidies to promote apartment rent control. So I believe I'm going to be voting yes on this one, and it does have to do with the rent control issue. You will see a lot of the yes ads on Proposition 33. They also talk about voting no on 34, and they're the ones that are paid for mostly by the rent control groups that are out there that would like rent control across the board. So where those are, it's an interesting way. And I think if you read it in your booklet, you'll realize, you know, kind of where it is. I'm just going to read some of the text from it. It requires healthcare providers meeting specific criteria to spend 98% of revenues from federal discount prescription drug programs on direct patient care. It permanently authorizes a state to negotiate Medi-Cal drug prices. And so it talks a lot about the drug stuff. And then it's interesting because then there's some additional activity here that talks about rent control. So it's kind of a cornucopia of different things. Now, in the booklet itself, the arguments in favor of Prop 34 come from the Latino Heritage Los Angeles, the ALS, so Lou Gehrig's folks, the association, and then a legislative LGBTQ caucus on the arguments against Prop 34. You have the National Organization of Women, the Coalition for Economic Survival, and the AIDS Healthcare Foundation. So I, you know, take that for what it is out there. But there's also the California Professional Firefighters are for it, and the California Senior Alliance, and additional people that are against it are the National Organization for Women, which we've talked about, Consumer Watchdog, and again the Coalition for Economic Survival, and they call it a revenge initiative. So that's getting some play on the air. I've seen some of the commercials on there. There's a lot of money for rent control right now, I think, in the state of California. But this is a yes vote, according to the Republican Party of San Luis Obispo County and the California Republican Party. This is the big one, though. We're coming into Proposition 35, and I know we only have about 15 minutes, and so I'd like to hit these because these, to me, are the most important ones on there. Proposition 35, and this is a split between California Republican Party and the Republican Party of San Luis Obispo County and, of course, the Dems. But Proposition 35 it stops state from redirecting Medi-Cal funds and protecting taxpayers. And so what the state of California has done over the years has taken $30 billion out of this fund and redirected it to their pet projects. And this money should be in Medi-Cal and going to behavior health programs in counties, be going to real medical programs in California counties. And so that's why the RCRC, rural county representatives, a lot of the smaller counties in Northern California are really fighting for this because they believe that additional money will help them be able to put more money into things that they, you know, that they don't have money for right now. And so the California Republican Party has said yes on this. RCRC has said yes on this. The California Democrat Party has said yes on this because it's sponsored by nurses and doctors. That's they got together to get this, and it will protects patient access to health care. Of course, they also say that it's supported by Planned Parenthood. The local Republican Party, which is, I think, one of the reasons why they didn't support it, was the Planned Parenthood issue, but it eliminates legislative discretion to use Medi-Cal tax funds for illegal aliens, and they're urging a no vote. My argument, though, is a little different than theirs, is because those billions of dollars coming back to the counties will help us right now because the state is siphoning that money off and putting it into their pet projects. And I think this money has been raised and taxed on people to be able to deal with medical health issues. That's where the money should be spent.
So you're an absolute yes on
I am.
Prop 35.
And so is Debbie Arnold. Our Board of Supervisors voted yes. Our rural county representatives of California have voted yes on this. The governor, by the way, so Governor Newsom is against this. I'm just throwing it out there. He's against it. The Democrats, actually, which is interesting, the Democrat Party is for it, and the local Republican Party is against it. So, but that to me is a big one because if we have financial problems, we have to cut. I don't support tax increases, and I, as a political consultant, I love when elected officials support tax increases because we can use that stuff all day long, right? Especially here in San Luis Obispo County. So, once again, this will stop the state from spending money and redirecting money out of Medi-Cal. Finally, which is the big one, and this is the one you've heard Dan Dow talk about all over the state, including on this radio station. This is Proposition 36. So, as you know, Proposition 47 came into place, and it basically gutted a lot and locked up the hands of the district attorneys, the sheriff's departments, the police departments on a lot of these crimes. So I was at the Best Buy in San Luis Obispo, and there's a gentleman who had shoplifted an Xbox, a game console, and he ran out because it was under $900. He ran out, and I looked at one of the employees, and I said, "Do you want to track this guy down?" And they said, "No, we're instructed we can't do anything to stop him from stealing because it's under $900, and so we can't." And they can basically, if he gets hurt in the apprehension, they're going to sue the store and sue the employees. And so what this does is it adds tough measures to control retail theft, and it changes the laws on fentanyl possession and sales in the state of California. This is a big one for me because we've had more people die of fentanyl overdoses in our county than we've ever had, and it's hurting the community. It will reduce crime by enforcing tougher laws against retail crime. It will make stores in every community safer for customers. And I was just up in Contra Costa County and Alameda County a couple weeks ago, and I went into this one drugstore, a CVS, and everything in the store is behind glass and, you know, plexiglass, and has to be unlocked by an employee. It will make stores in every community safer for customers and employees. It will also punish those who traffic fentanyl. And as I said, we've had tons of fentanyl deaths and fentanyl overdoses. in our county, and encourage those with drug addiction to enter and finish. And I want to highlight the finish the drug treatment program. So it will force them to finish drug treatment programs. The California Republican Party, as says yes. The Republican Party of San Luis Obispo County says yes. And the California Democrat Party says no. It says that it restarts the failed war on drugs and wastes billions on new prison spending. Well, to me, when you look at the district attorneys and the sheriffs in the state of California, every county has one, and every county has, you know, they have them. They all support a yes vote on Proposition 36.
We're going to take the last break from our sponsors and be back with the final segment with John Pashant.
Paso Robles Glass is exclusively presenting the new Milgard Trinzic Series windows and doors. If you're looking for a vinyl window frame that is contemporary with modern crisp lines, you'll love the new Trinzic Series from Milgard and Paso Robles Glass. Give your home a clean, sleek look with less vinyl and more glass to enjoy your view. Whether it's new construction or replacement, Paso Robles Glass has a window for you. And remember, they are the replacement window masters. Call Paso Robles Glass for your free in-home sales consultation for Milgard Trinzic windows and doors. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014. That's 238-4014 for Paso Robles Glass.
Get it fast, save some cash. Paso Glass is where it's at.
Driven to be the best.
The veteran-owned Ted Miles Motors in Atascadero.
The cars you want, the people you like.
Serving you for 49 consecutive years.
Just plain good deals without the hype.
Ted Miles Motors, same location since 1975.
Selling cars the way it should be done. And giving you service that's second to none.
Driven to be the best.
Ted Miles Motors, in business for 49 years, has sold over 13,000 vehicles and is the longest established used car dealer in San Luis Obispo County. So whether buying or selling a car, truck, van, SUV, motorhome, or classic car, visit their easy-to-navigate website, TedMilesMotors.com, or their showroom, 7380 El Camino Real in Atascadero, next to Farrell's Auto Repair.
Driven to be the best!
Ted Miles Motors, Atascadero.
Hi, I'm Seth Peek.
And I'm Ryan Peek.
And we're the Peek Brothers.
Hey there, glad you can make it. Come on in.
Wow, your kitchen looks amazing. So does your whole house.
Thanks. We just had our cabinets refinished by Peak Painting. They did such a fantastic job, we had them come back and paint our whole living area.
I guess you could say they have your stamp of approval.
Yes, sir. Just like everyone else on Google and Yelp. Booking a quote is easy. Just go to peakpainting.com. That's P-E-E-K painting.com. And book a time and day that fits your schedule. No back and forth phone tag. Just click and book.
Sounds too easy.
Hi, I'm Seth Peek.
And I'm Ryan Peek.
And we're the Peek Brothers. From cabinet painting to interior painting.
Exterior painting, both residential and commercial.
We're your go-to family-owned and operated painting company serving all of Slo County. We look forward to working with you. To learn more and book your appointment, visit Peek Painting at peekpainting.com.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Beely. I'm your host on Wednesday and Thursdays. And I have John Pashant in the studio, and we are discussing the different ballot measures and propositions. If you missed the show, I'd go back and listen to the podcast. We're on the last one. We're talking about Prop 36.
I wanted to point out, too, that there's two ballot initiatives that came before the Board of Supervisors, and we are actually able to get four votes. Yes on 36, so it was a 4-1 vote, and then it was also a 4-1 vote on 35 to support those two. So those are the only two that we've taken positions on. The California, the San Luis Obispo County Board of Supervisors. And I will tell you, I was very surprised and elated. And Debbie Arnold and I, you know, knowing where they stood, the RCRC vote was, and then being able to get the Board of Supervisors to support those two.
And who was this lone no vote on both issues?
Supervisor Gibson voted no on both of those. He believed, I believe, you know, the governor has come out against them, and so he was, as president of CSAC, he wanted to make sure he was in line with the governor.
Did he give a long explanation like he sometimes does?
You know, it's funny because he's been calling, he uses this term a lot, kabuki theater, you know, kabuki theater. And he kabukied me because he used to kabuki only Debbie. He'd say, oh, that was kabuki theater when we talk. But he gave kind of an abbreviated one on that. I think he knew kind of where the vote was going. When it's a 4-1, he tends to not talk as much as, you know, as he does when he's got the majority on the board.
So. I don't know what kabuki theater means. Can you explain it?
It's a Japanese theater that has like overemphasized masks and costumes, and it's a grand production, right? So if you emote over a certain way, it's a technically people used to use it all the time, kabuki theater or kabuki.
So this is a way of him disparaging.
Yeah, and I've it is, and I've corrupted it now to say I've been kabukied by Bruce Gibson.
Let's get back to the national election. We've gone through the measures.
Yeah.
I am surprised that Donald Trump was losing 3 weeks ago, and I thought he was going to lose. And now the polls for the bookies, which the bookie polls, I always think they're the best because these guys are taking money to say how somebody's going to win. And now they have Trump, you know, over, I think he's at, what, 63% now?
67 or 68, going up.
Oh, he's at 67 or 68?
I think so, yes.
Are you surprised?
I will tell you this, because, you know, he was obviously president before. He's been president, you know, for 4 years. Then he's been out for 4 years. I'm not necessarily sure that the campaign that he ran in 2000 was the best campaign. I don't think they had the message discipline to drive the message like they do now. He is talking about the three top issues in America right now, and he is driving those points home. He's not getting distracted on the other stuff. He's talking about the economy. He's talking about crime and public safety and the border. And those are the ones he keeps pounding. So he goes to McDonald's and he says, I want a job and I want to learn how to do the fries. You know, if you listen to the tape of him doing it. And I'll tell you, that is an economic message. That sends an economic message. It drives a contrast with his opponent, who said she worked at McDonald's but didn't. And so right there, you see some really interesting contrast. The border things that he talks about, some of these communities and what's happened, hitting that border discussion has been a tremendous, I think, asset to his campaign because he can talk about it because of the things he did when he was president of the United States and the things that, once again, driving the contrast, the things that she did not do for 4 years or did do for 4 years. She did much different things than he did. And then there's the public safety aspect, the crime in the community aspects. And this Proposition 36 here is a prime example. That has taken on a life of its own. The campaign is running great. People are talking about this, how we're going to fix a problem. And I think it actually, to me, when you control the narrative, when you have message discipline not to talk about, you know, just other items that are out there, you know, and focus on the top three issues, you win an election.
And I do believe those are the top three with almost all Americans.
Mm-hmm. I agree, 100%. And I think, too, if you look at the ones, the ballot initiatives that are going to win, I think you're going to see that there's a correlation between those presidential issues that people are talking about and those issues that, you know, that are going to win on the ballot here.
What do you see happening with the Congress and the Senate?
I haven't looked at it very closely because I'm not doing any congressional races or Senate races this cycle. But I do believe that there are, from a Senate standpoint, there are some, you know, the majority has been different this last, you know, couple years, and the Dem majority. And I think that they're going to be I think they're going to lose some seats, and I think they lose the majority in the U.S. Senate. I don't know about the Congress. You know, those, some of those races are going to come down to the very end. Who's working harder? Who's sticking to the messages that work in their district? And that's ultimately what these races are. And I think that because there's so many of these races, one by one, it's tough to gauge it. But, you know, I still am hopeful that the Republican Party and the Speaker are able to pull this out.
So you think it may be a big win for the Republican Party?
You know, I'm from California, so I don't say that because every time the red wave, and then, you know, it stops at the Rockies or it stops at the Sierras or it stops, you know, someplace in the Mississippi River. So I don't want to jinx it, to be honest with you. I think we just have to work hard. You have to follow through. There's, what, 13 days until Election Day. You know, let's make sure that we, you know, that we do everything we can to support those candidates.
What do you think happened that Kamala was doing so well, and then all of a sudden she just started tanking? What do you think caused that?
I think it's a combination, because you have to actually drive a contrast, and that you can't just say someone's bad. You have to drive the contrast between your behavior and their behavior. And she hasn't been driving a contrast, and he's able to. And again, her issues are not the top issues. You know, if you look at what she's been talking about, they're not the top issues that people care about. Right now, we are caring across the country, every survey I've seen, on the first and foremost is the economy and economics and how that affects working families. And then the second one would be the border. And the third one would be crime. And the border and crime actually kind of go hand in hand together. And that's what if you continue to talk about those issues, but she's not, because sometimes, you know, there's not a lot of action there. And so you can't drive the contrast as well as he can by sticking to those issues. And if you've noticed it, a lot of times he's ignoring a lot of the things that he talked about 4 years ago. So.
No, he has. I have not heard anything about a wall.
It's coming. You know, that, but it's part of the border discussion. I mean, the border discussion, if you think about it, has moved to kind of the Venezuelan crime element that's been, you know, the murderers that have come into this country that are now roaming free, right? You know, all of these different things that drive that narrative. And so I think that there's discussion needs to be had, you know, about who they've, you know, the millions of people they've, you know, that have come into this country over the last 4 years.
Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to ask John today?
Yeah, one quick question. We appreciate your knowledge on all the propositions. They were great. 35 was still no.
No, I'm doing a 35. I'm going to be joining the California Republican Party and voting yes on 35.
35, yes.
Yes,
okay,
ma'am.
Thank you.
You bet. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And if you miss some of the discussion, there is going to be a podcast up. You can go back and look at what John is recommending. Do you want to go over them really quick, one at a time, and say yes or no, what the Republican Party is pushing?
Yeah. And there's going to be some splits, as we talked about earlier in this broadcast today. But we, you know, just across the board. So the California Republican Party is urging a yes vote on Proposition 2. The local Republican Party, San Luis Obispo County Republican Party, is urging a no vote. Proposition 3, the California Republican Party took no position. The Republican Party, San Luis Obispo, is urging a no vote. Both organizations are urging a no vote on Prop 4. They're also both recommending a no vote on Prop 5. They're also both recommending a no vote on 6. And then we get into the big numbers. On 32, they're both recommending a no vote. A no vote on Proposition 33. A yes vote on 34. They split on this. So the California Republican Party is urging a yes vote on 35. The Republican Party of San Luis Obispo County is urging a no vote. And then Proposition 36 is a yes vote. And on Prop 35, Debbie Arnold and I are both supporting a yes vote on Prop 35.
I want to thank you very much for being here, John, and informing the community about what is on the ballot and what the measures are. Hope to have you back on again.
I really appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you.
This hour of Sound Off was brought to you by the Work Family Ranch, the perfect outdoor activity for any level rider. Book your horseback ride today, 805-467-3362, or go to workranch.com.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's